Let me go ahead and begin. This is a booklet that I've got right here. Would anyone like to give ideas to what this is?
Birthday book.
This is my birthday book. This is my birthday book right here. I want y'all to know something, that I have had great blessed contemplations in the last few days on this theme, and then I'm going to expand it to two other themes. But this theme is that I am loved. We used to sing a little chorus here in our church that says, I am loved, you are loved, I can risk loving you, for the one who knows me best loves me most. I could go on into the next parts, but I'm going to stop right there. This message today is going to be divided out into I am loved. That's the big part. You are loved. And then we're going to look at the one who loves us most. The one who loves us most. I was taken advantage of several weeks ago here at the church. Scandalously so. Everybody in this building knew that I was going to have a surprise birthday party except me. I'll go on and expand it. Everybody in Trousdale County knew that I was going to have a surprise birthday party except for me. I was sitting in the fellowship hall just as gullible as anybody could be, not knowing anything in the world that was going on. And my back was to the roadway coming in, and it's whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. 50 or 100 cars drive in. I didn't see one of them. I talked to a lady who was in here yesterday. I said, how many was in the auditorium when they opened the door? She said, oh, it was over 100. There were 100 guests just from the community that came. I didn't even get to say boo to all of them. But I want you to know that was a very precious, loving thing that was done that day by my children primarily. And I love them for it. And I rejoiced in it. My eyes lit up when Jamie Lynn walked out of the kitchen with this birthday cake that had 10 candles, 20 candles, 30 candles, 40 candles, 50 candles, 60 candles, 70 candles on it, because I hit my big 7-0. And I can share with you, I am loved. During that time, there was a little basket, and people put all of these little birthday wishes in this basket to me. I'm sure many of y'all did. I'm going to try. I think I've only got one that I'm going to read that has anything to do with any of y'all. But these will be hard for me to read. I carried all those 75 or so to the house and cried till 10 o'clock in joy, tears of joy. Bunch of lies is what it was, but still tears of joy. One young man sent me this. He just said, thanks. And I don't know whether he was expressing his face or my face in the bulldog. And he wrote this. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time with this. I have to have my glasses. Get my reading glasses out. It's dark in this room. It needs to have more light in this room. Brother Carmen, I'm honored to know you and call you my friend. From my very first memories of you over 30 years ago until today, you have always been an encourager to me specifically. See Christ's love in others and you. You may not know what kind of a big influence in my singing, and this young man can sing, he does a real good job, in my singing. Even though you never gave me a single lesson, I was always blessed to be taught by your daughters. But any time I heard your voice when I was young, I would always think, that's how loud I want to sing unto my Lord. I love your family so much, Your sweet wife was also such an encourager to me, and I will always look forward to those events that I knew that both of you would be there. I'm so thankful that you've stayed faithful to God's call on your life and be a follower of Christ and to point others unto Him. You are so loved for your specific personality that God blessed you with. Happy birthday from a young man. I won't tell you who said these things because they're all a bunch of lies. The second one is this. Carol, the years have rolled on. He's talking about me now. The years have rolled on. Oh, they have rolled by. We've been through much together, now going on decades. It's been a great blessing to me and my wife and our family to pass those many years with you at Grace Baptist Church. You have been a difference maker in so, so, so many ways. Thank you and happy birthday. They get harder as they go down the list. You'll guess who did this one, but you might not. You might not. Matter of fact, if you guess on any of these, you're wrong. Does anyone have any tissues around here close? Not there. I am going to sort of lose it at best, especially when I get to the one of these here in a minute. Mr. Carroll, as I reflect upon the decades that you have been a part of my life, I see the difference, the different hats that you have worn throughout as my pastor, my employer, as my mayor. You have been a constant example of integrity and diligence in all facets of life. Boy, does he not know me too well. But perhaps the title of the greatest significance by which I knew you, that by which I know you, is simply that of friend. My father's mother had a little saying that I will always remember: love people more than things. You, Mr. Carroll, have personified that concept for me. Your generosity knows no bounds, whether it be your time, money, your counsel being given, your warm-hearted care for all people, family, friend, church, even complete strangers, is a beacon in our community. As I prepared this message yesterday, I went through about a whole box full of these. It was hard for me to do this. You have opened your home multiple times to me and my friends, my families. You look for the best in me. Even when I was harder, even when it was harder to see, you taught me our trade of land surveying through both direct instruction and from others whom you had trained. I can sincerely say that you have been an integral part of my success in life, and I consider myself truly blessed to have you as my friend. I am loved. The last one is the hardest one for me to read. And I selected these. No, I have two more. Forgive me. The last one is the hardest still. This is not about me, by the way. I am loved, and you are loved. And I can risk loving you because the one who loves me best, the one who knows me best, loves me most. The climax will be at the end. It's not now. Dear Carol Carmen, this person always call me both names. Carol Carmen, how you doing? Carol Carmen, how you doing? How you doing, Carol Carmen? Carol Carmen? Good to see you, Carol Carmen. She always used, it's a she, I shouldn't have said that. Your life shouts to the glory of the Lord with consistency and intentional love like few I've ever known. The joy of the Lord shines from you always, and it's a continual encouragement and comfort to all who have the pleasure and the treasure of just being in your presence. Carol, to just think of you makes my heart smile. You also have a generosity that touches all in your presence also. You are a giver of yourself, and only the Lord knows what all else. But your giving has been to the glory of God. My life, our family's life has been touched so many times. Carol, in times and ways that you nor anyone else could have known how deep your giving could reach. Oh, how we love you also. At the very top of reasons, I love you. So are the ways, and so many ways, you loved your dear wife. I think I misdid that. Oh, how we love you also, and at the very top of the reasons I love you, so for the many ways that you loved your dear wife. I wish all men could learn from you how to love their wives. It's a privilege and brings great joy to say to you, happy birthday. Now, you can't guess who that one was. Good, I don't want you to guess these people. Bunch of crazy people. It was very hard for me to just select 5. I could have selected 25. I want you to know I am loved. I am loved. I'll expand on that thought here in just a minute. Where's my timepiece at, Donnie Martin? I don't know where my timepiece is. Did you move it? It's up there on the pulpit. But that's all right. You give me a... This one sort of gives a little bit of leeway right here. To a most special uncle on his big day. You have always been one of my favorite people. Even as a little girl, I would look for you at church to get those big hugs and to talk to you. Some uncles may not be thankful or proud to have so many nieces and nephews. That sort of narrowed the realm as to which family this is. But you always were. You made people feel special. You have the same ability with my kids, and they love you. I am thankful to have grown up going to church with you and Miss Linda, Aunt Linda. I learned a lot from you both, and I have many memories I treasure. One fond one that impacted me was how you would tell young people in the church, young parents in the church, how their children were the only things that they could take with them to heaven. It changed the way I viewed my children and their treasures that I have. You were the first preacher I vividly remember Jesus speaking to me through. It was the same every time you preached. It was easy to see a sense of your love for Jesus. I knew at a young age that I wanted you to be the one who would baptize me in the creek and to do my wedding service one day. And I am forever grateful that the Lord granted both of those desires. I watched my wedding video every year on my anniversary, and I've always been reminded of what Jesus wanted you to tell us. But the memory I would favor and cherish and hold dear is a newer one. It's the sight of seeing you coming to love. I can't see. It's the sight of seeing you coming in love for your little brother and my dad. Now, in those last days, you would be by his side, talking to him, praying over him, singing to him, kissing him on the head. I can't even see it. When you would leave, what great love. I forever touched to have asked Jesus that my kids would love each other and show that kind of care for each other like that. I see Daddy when I see you. I love you, Uncle Carol. It was a hard day that day, a gloriously hard day when I read all 75 of those. And I want you to know it was a gloriously wonderful day. It was hard for me yesterday to reread many of them, because I wanted to come and share with y'all today that you are loved also. I am loved and you are loved. Okay, I'm going to give you some puppy love right here now. I love you. Y'all. I love y'all. I love y'all. We tell every new member coming to our church, collectively as four elders, if all four of us are there. Sometimes all four of us aren't there. But we tell them that you have us for 24 hours a day. There's no time you can call that we will not answer. There's no place that we've not come to help you and bless you as a member of this church. Now, I want you to know, as I say all that, I know that I have failed you. We have failed y'all. And days gone by, weeks gone by. But I want you to know you are loved. You are loved. At Grace Baptist Church, we die trying to love you and to care for you and rejoice in you. Now, that's puppy love. That's love. That the love of our Lord, I hope and pray, shining forth through the leadership of the church. We love you. I haven't been in some of your homes in a long, long, long time. Many of y'all have not been to my home. Of course, the passing of my beloved wife somewhat complicates things in my life. Somewhat complicates things like this. I guess I can run up to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a barrel of chicken and show hospitality, but you will not. Hey, you, thank you a lot. I needed to hear that. But you would not want to eat my cooking. Linda loved me out of the kitchen. I had no gifts in the kitchen but consumption. She said, get out of here. I can barely boil water today. You should see me fry eggs and cook a little bacon on any given morning at the house. It's quite an effort, quite a display of incompetence. But I want you to know we love you. We love you. We care for you. Did you know our job is to care for your souls? With all my heart, I prayed for y'all yesterday. I wanted you to know that I loved you. And I wanted the Lord to know that I love you guys. And listen, it's not no big deal. What I'm about to tell you is a big deal, but I want you to know we love you here. Can I get an amen out of a couple of elders here, maybe? We love you guys. We want you to be all that you can be for the glory of Jesus Christ the Lord. We're a little hillbilly church. We're out here in the middle of nowhere, smallest county in the state of Tennessee, and yet I glory in every one of y'all being here and being a part of our congregation. And I love you for it. I love you for it. May the Lord bless you. You are loved. I am loved. You are loved. And I can risk loving you. And there's a reason I can risk loving you. You want you to know I can love you, and sometimes, this is a selective statement, but sometimes y'all break our hearts. Sometimes there's a heartbreak to leadership. But let me share something with you. Because of the one who loves us most, we can risk that. We can risk that. It's hard being in leadership at times because we risk loving people that sometimes don't reciprocate or have a different opinion or have a, and that's all right, we want to have different opinion, but to glaringly stand in our faces and say we totally disagree with you, goodbye. It's been real hard in recent days. It's hard for me to say that I have lost my best friend in the last few days because of that kind of spirit. But we love you guys. We love you guys. We rejoice in you guys being here today. But the love I want to speak of you the most is, but the one who knows me best loves me most. We come here and we sing of the Lord, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is gloriously wonderful in our lives. His love, our love is infinitesimally small, and his love covers the sky. His love is everywhere. He loves us most, and for this we're very thankful. My heart tended toward the resurrection as I thought about this. Did you know the resurrection is the centerpiece of the Christian faith? It's real today because Christ rose from the dead. It staggered the world 2,000 years ago. Many wrote of the amazing thing that happened in Jerusalem, that Jesus Christ the Lord rose from the dead. There's more evidence that Jesus Christ lived and died, was buried, and rose again on the third day than Abraham Lincoln was president of the United States. And we just know Abraham Lincoln or George Washington were president of the United States because our history books tell us that it's so. But I want you to know that there's more evidence historically that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, not John, for some reason, when it gets to that John part right there, John has a meeting with the ladies that distracts the language a little bit. But the first three Gospels all say something very akin to this. The last chapters of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The ladies came, the Marys came, and the stone was rolled away. And someone was there. We deemed these to be angels that were there. And the angel said this: "He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen." Now, I like that language right there. Now, I know I read John MacArthur, and he went on to say, he said that could have all been translated in Old English. It could have been said, Jesus has risen. Now, has risen sort of puts it in past tense. That's something that happened a few hours ago. But in each one of the Gospels, in the Old King James, and in many of the newer translations, it's been maintained that Jesus is risen. Not trying to change it, but I thought there was a beauty about it that I'd like to share with y'all. The beauty is this. The is speaks of present tense, okay? It's present tense. A lot of people look like, I'll just ask the question, when did Jesus rise from the dead? Anybody want to venture an answer? It's the real answer. You got 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. But the writers of this set this in such a way to say he is risen. Today we need to have it before our mind's eye. There was shaking of the world in that day. The whole world was turned upside down. Have you heard? Jesus is risen. Have you heard? The whole world turned upside down. You know what we need to do? We need to receive that same word today in our spirits and hearts and go out and turn our world upside down, because Jesus Christ is risen today. Amen. And the old song says, hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen today. Today, it was 2,000 years ago, but from our context as believers in the 21st century, he rose today. He rose today, and it should stagger our hearts and everything that he rose. He rose to manifest who he was. He was the one who could not die and stay dead, okay? All the rest of us are going to die. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. My sister holds out. She's going to not die, okay? And I don't want you to know I love her for it. I love people like that. I'm of the opinion that if my wife can die, I can die. I can die. If my beloved wife dies, I can die. Got a gravesite that's got my name on it right there. I've already got a stone that's got my name on it. And my wife's buried right there right now. Got a stone with my name on it. In 1 Thessalonians 4, the Apostle Paul was saying, I want you to know this, guys. But don't want you to be ignorant about this. That when the Lord, when the great trump shall sound and the time shall be no more, said, the dead in Christ will rise first. Did you know the Lord in that particular statement says that there's going to be honor given those that are in the grave? Did you notice that? The dead in Christ will raise first. Raise first. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of time between that and the next one, but irrespective, at least he put an order in there that I thought was quite commendable. He's going to rise first. I pondered that thought for a minute. Historically, there was a camp over in an island over off Japan. And in one war, it wasn't World War I and World War II, it was another war. And there was a fairly sizable Christian community on this island. And the Japanese came in and took over the island. And they decreed that all the Christians were enemies to the state. And on that island, they killed every Christian man, woman, boy, and girl on that island. And one of the guys thinking says, they believe in the resurrection. This sounds a little gory. You kids can stick your fingers in your ears right now. They chopped off the heads of every one of them and buried them like 10 miles away and then buried their bodies in another place. And they did that because they said they can't rise now. They can't rise now. That's a bunch of hogwash, first of all. They didn't know what they was talking about. The Lord will find every bit of us. I was thinking about those that would be killed in the Colosseum or those that were burned at the stake years ago. I've imagined in my spirit being burned at the stake. You know, if they put a good fire under you, basically you melt away. A lot of you, your soft parts will go into the atmosphere because you'll be burned up and the smoke will get you. And so you'll be lost. The wind will blow you to no telling where. Matter of fact, in a lot of the instances where they burn people at the stake, there would be nothing but a skeleton left. And some of those who hated them so bad said, well, we don't want no skeletons left. They would take their skeletons, they would take hammers and beat them up. And then they would have another fire and burn the bones to the best that they could. And then they would take the bones down to the river and throw them into the river so they could float down the river because there would be no body to rise. I said those words this morning at the nursing home, and Mark, where's Mark at? Is Mark here? Mark is back yonder. Mark said, you don't believe in cremation? I said, well, I don't really believe in cremation, but I understand that a lot of people are cremated, and I understand that a lot of Christian people are cremated. I don't necessarily believe that it's the right thing to do, but I don't get after it. I preached many a funeral with a little bitty urn sitting in front of me and had to preach the funeral. I didn't get after the family for burning the guy into ashes because I know this. You can lay me in the ground, and if enough time goes by, I will be eaten by the worms. And then the worms will come back on top and the birds will catch the worms and they'll fly to the next county. There's probably parts of my grandparents and great-grandparents in 20 counties here in the state of Tennessee, if not all over the world. Let me share with you, the Lord God from heaven is so great that he knows where every molecule of you and I are right now. Right now, he knows exactly where every bit of you are. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every bit of you. And when he wants you, he will get you, okay? That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of God that is ours. It's a wonderful thing to consider that him rising from the dead, he did not see corruption. And there's going to be a lot of people on this earth that will not see corruption when he returns. The second part of that verse in 1 Thessalonians says, that those that are dead and in the ground will rise first. And then those that remain, that's the guys who are alive, shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and they'll be given a glorified body. My brothers and sisters, that ought to just excite us to no end, that we should be loved in such a great way that the Lord God from heaven would love us and say to us, I'm not going to lose you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I think it is, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I can say that to my children. I can say that to my brothers and sisters here. But it's a lie, because I can and will forsake you someday. I will not be able to say those words. But the one who could say those words said them in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those are words of great love. Those are words of great love. We're guarded by the one who inhabits eternity. We're guarded by him. And what a gloriously wonderful thing that we're guarded by him. Well, I've abandoned every one of my notes. Pause just a moment. Let me turn to Matthew 18. That is not my reference. We do not need to look at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ as a past event. It is the centerpiece of all of our security in Jesus Christ the Lord. It's the centerpiece of all of Christianity, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he dies no more. He has an indestructible life. He has risen from the dead. Now, when he came to the earth, he came to die, and he did die. But he has an indestructible life now. It's indestructible. No one can assail the throne of heaven. No one can assail Jesus Christ the Lord. He's indestructible. Well, there's a certain measure of that in our lives, okay? We need to have before our own hearts that in Christ Jesus the Lord, we are indestructible, okay? We're indestructible. In Christ Jesus the Lord, we have everlasting life in Christ Jesus the Lord. This should make this so very valuable to every one of you here in this place, and I would even say that of children here in this place. If you don't know the Lord, you're destructible. If you don't know the Lord, you do not have everlasting life, because everlasting life is only found in Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the only place it's found. I want to touch your hearts in regard to that. Jesus Christ the Lord is the one who saves sinners. He's the one that saves sinners. And faith in him delivers us and gives us everlasting life and makes us indestructible just like him. He even alludes in places that we're going to be just like him. You can read in the Corinthians where those there denied the resurrection and taught that there was no resurrection. But he speaks there of us being like him in that resurrection. We're going to rise with him. We're going to rise with him when he calls. My brothers and sisters, be encouraged. I spent a whole lot of time on me being loved, and I rejoice in being loved. I'd like to think that y'all love me in spite of myself, okay? You are loved. You are loved this day. In spite of me not loving you as I ought, you are loved. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knows you best, loves you most. Live your life to the glory of the Lord We thank you for the opportunity to stand before you today. Let's bow our heads and hearts, please. Father, we thank you for your love towards us today. Lord, it's a mighty love. It's a love beyond our comprehension that you would love us everlastingly, that you would love us right now, that right now we are risen in you. Right now we're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord, right now. And yet, oh Lord, we don't experience that. Many times we lose sight of that. Lord, help that to give us courage to walk out and to speak your name and to share Christ with others. Help us, Lord, that to work in our hearts that we would bow and pray for the souls of men and ask, Lord, for your blessing in the lives of those that are here with us. Lord, I would pray for any soul here today that knows you not, that, Lord, you would work in that heart salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, thank you for your great love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for these few moments to be with you. We'll be dismissed, and y'all can have you a cup of coffee, and we trust the Lord might bless. Thank you now.